Ancient Jewish blessings release miracles on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I have Bill and Dorothy Jean Ligon with me. Bill has found out something that has been hidden too long, the supernatural value of the ancient Jewish blessings. Bill, you were telling me about a woman that had such depression that asked for help on these supernatural blessings. Tell me about her.
She was actually a pastor's wife, Sid, and they lived on the other side of the state. Her husband brought her to us. And from birth, she had had a birthmark in her forehead in the shape of a V. And her mother had told her that she was born under a curse and that she would always have difficulty in her life. And when we met her, we began to teach her about how to bless those who were cursing her and to forgive and release them from the offenses that she felt in her heart. And when she began to do that, and we began to speak blessing over her, an interesting thing happened.
What was that?
That birthmark began to fade out of her forehead.
Was this before your eyes, or was it just...
No, it started mm-hmm. It started leaving. We could mm-hmm. see it.
Dorothy Jean, did you see this?
Oh, yes, I did. I was right there with him.
And it was like, let me get it, it was like a V uh-huh. on the forehead.
It was a small V, probably about an inch and a half or 2 inches long, right in the middle of the forehead.
Almost like a birthmark.
And it actually disappeared as she forgave.
It began to fade out little by little. It was like it was transparent.
Now, curiosity, did it ever come back?
Well, I talked to her husband after that, and he said that when she would get upset and would begin to express her offense again, that it would start fading back in. But that when she would realize what she was doing, and she would pray for those who had hurt her, and forgave them, that it would just fade back out.
How did you, I mean, you're not Jewish. How did you even become interested or even know about these ancient Jewish blessings?
Well, I was a pastor of a traditional church and a denominational church. And my experience of being filled with the Spirit of Jesus came into question in the church. And it put me into prayer, my wife and me. And we ended up resigning the church and starting a new church all over again. But in the course of it, people criticized us. And in prayer, the Lord told me to begin to study the principle of blessing. I didn't understand them, so I went to an old friend of mine, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and studied under him and came back and began to put these principles into practice.
Just out of curiosity, how does an Orthodox Jewish rabbi react to a Baptist minister saying, I want to understand the Jewish prayers?
Well, he was, of course, a friend. Mm-hmm. We had been friends earlier. I had befriended him on occasion, and he, you know, if you have a Jew who's a friend, he's a friend forever for you, you know, unless you really hurt him. And so we didn't have any problem with that. I respected him and his views, and he respected mine. And he welcomed me into his home. I went to his home and sat with him.
What? Tell me a couple of things he taught you about these ancient blessings.
Well, he taught me the high priestly blessing. It's found in the Old Testament, in the old part of the Bible, Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 through 26. God gave that to Moses and to his brother Aaron and his sons so that God could release his favor upon people through the blessing that's spoken over them.
Well, and what is that blessing?
That blessing says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance on you and give you his peace. And then in the next verse it says, thus you shall invoke God's name on the sons of Israel,
what
and God will bless them.
What does that mean, invoke
That word
his
invoke
name?
Means to engage the power that comes, the supernatural power that comes from the name of God. It's kind of like getting in your car and starting your engine. You sit there accelerating the engine, running the RPMs up, creating a lot of energy, but going nowhere. You have to invoke the power of that engine. And you do that by putting it into gear. And when you do, you transfer that power and you're able to move a ton of weight, called an automobile, at high speed. The same thing is true with the life of God. God himself has ordained that we release his power through the blessing that's to be spoken. We also help ourselves, we defend ourselves from the curses that come against us through anger. People try to hurt us, and we protect ourselves by blessing those who curse us. And that rabbi taught me some of those principles.
Why did he have to teach you that? As a Christian that believes in the Bible, that loves God, why didn't you know this?
It's interesting. I'd been to college and seminary, Baptist college, Baptist seminary. No one had ever taught me anything. I was raised in the church. I'd never heard anything taught on the blessing. I happen to have been raised in a godly Christian home, and my parents were kind and loving to me, but no one ever said anything about speaking blessing or laying hands on me and imparting blessing.
Now, when you speak this blessing, say, over your son or sons, what happens supernaturally to them?
Well, they have seen a difference in their lives. I know that when our oldest son was ready to leave for college, he was going to drive away and go to another state. He called me into his room and closed the door and got on his knees and said, Dad, bless me one more time before I leave. And then later on, after he had graduated from law school and became an attorney, moved back to our city and became an attorney there, he was about to do his first trial. And he came to my wife and me and asked, he knelt before us and asked us to speak blessing over him. He said, I've never done a trial in my life. He said, you need to bless me and pray for my client. So we laid hands on him and blessed him. And he went into that courtroom, had never actually seen a trial, never done one, and won the case. And it was a great blessing to his client.
But why do you, I know that you bless your wife at least once a day with that high priestly blessing. Why do you do that?
Because I know that there is supernatural power and favor. The favor of God is released when I lay hands on her and bless her. Yes, we do that every day. We did our devotions driving here this morning to the studio that we're in. And as we drove along, I spoke blessing over her. And not only that, but she speaks blessing over me.
But wait a
every
second.
Day.
You speak that blessing over your congregation every service. Why?
Because I know that God releases, God promised, and he will do it. God releases his power and his favor through the spoken blessing. That fact is, God began his relationship with mankind doing that. In Genesis, in the Old Testament, the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, after he created Adam and Eve, it says that he blessed them and said, it was a verbal blessing, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So God began his relationship with mankind by releasing his favor and his power on their lives.
You know something? This ancient Jewish blessing is being restored to Christians today, and it is supernaturally changing their lives. It is reversing curses, and you're going to find out about barren women that are having children. You're going to find out about teenagers that are having problems in school, that are headed towards disaster. Their whole life is being changed. We'll be right back after this.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm chatting here with Dorothy Jean and Bill Lincoln about an ancient Jewish blessing that releases the greatest miracles. As a matter of fact, you were telling me just before about when you left your denominational church. They were very upset because you believed in the fullness of the Spirit and speaking in unknown tongues, and so you didn't want problems, so you left. But now, maybe you were able to deal with it, Bill Lakin, but Dorothy Jean, you probably picked up some of those offenses. How did you deal with the way they were talking about you?
Oh, well, it was a challenge at first, but I did know that God said to pray for those who curse you or despitefully use you. And there were a number of men in the church who during the services would, some reason I would be sitting back of them or they'd be sitting back of me, and I would hear them criticizing Bill's sermon or anything that he was saying. So that really bothered me because I took that offense on very strongly. And so it got to the point that when I would see those men, oh, my face would just get red because I just wanted to pinch their heads off. I didn't have a right heart toward them. And I knew it wasn't right. So I would just go to my knees every day, sometimes two or three times a day, because when I would think about them, I would just get real angry. And I would start off, you know, Lord, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I don't feel it, but I do forgive them. But you're going to have to work that forgiveness in my heart and in my life. So I did this for about 3 months. And then one day I saw them and I had compassion for them instead of anger or hate. And I knew God had done something in my heart. And that was a wonderful lesson. But we do see that the power of forgiving and blessing those who despitefully use you, it does work.
But Bill, you had a friend that was in a similar situation, criticized, and he did not follow this biblical pattern. Tell me about him.
Well, we went through similar circumstances. We were paralleling each other. Both were under criticism. Both had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord put me into the teachings on the blessing. That gave me understanding on how to defend myself from the anger and the curses that were directed against me. And I realized as I studied the scriptures that Jesus taught his disciples how to protect themselves from offense that comes in conflict. And I began to apply it, but my friend didn't. He was under the same criticism in his church, and he let bitterness begin to come into his spirit. In prayer, I had a vision. Now, a vision is where you get a supernatural bit of information from God, and God showed me that I was going through an intersection on a green light, and I had the right of way, and another car came on a red light, and we met in the middle of the intersection, and I was going to go through because I had the right of way, and on impact, this vision stopped, and the word came to me, you can be 100% right, but if you allow bitterness in your spirit, it will kill you. And I knew that God was teaching me how to deal with offense and bitterness. My friend would call me and he'd say, Bill, I'm sick. This other pastor, would you come to see me? So I'd go to see him. He'd say, would you pray for me? And he would start talking about all this offense and what people were saying. And I would say to him, look, this is what God showed me. Begin to bless them, forgive them, bless them, speak blessing over them, decide to do good. He said, I can't. You don't know how much they've hurt me. So nothing would happen. He would call me again. He would ask me to come at night, slip in the back door, because he didn't want people to see me coming in to his home to visit with him. And Sid, he went down, 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 down. He completely got out of the pastorate. And one day his wife called me and said, Bill, said, my husband has died. He literally died of bitterness, an offense, and a broken heart.
If you did not understand these principles, do you think that might have been you?
Well, it could have very well been me, and I don't think I would be in ministry today. You know that that God blessed us, and not only did he raise up another church, but he raised up a network of churches that we have all up and down the East Coast. And I know that what God has done is the result of the release of blessing, and I've seen it applied not only in church work, but in the secular field, where we have shown people and taught people how to bless those with whom they're in conflict in the business world and how to turn their businesses around. We have taught them how to impart blessing.
Give me one specific case of someone whose business was turned around.
Well, we had a man come into our city who struggled continually, tried to get ahead, tried to make a living, and he couldn't succeed. He got into the teachings on the blessing. He began to apply those in his life. He went to his father in another city who had never even said, I love you. He expressed his love to his father, forgave his father, and then got on his knees in front of his father and asked him to bless him. That father, in brokenness, spoke a blessing over his son. He came back and began to apply himself again in his work. He was in insurance business. He started being promoted and was raised up to where now he is the senior vice president of a major insurance company in the United States. We lost him. He moved to another city. Mm-hmm. But that was the result of the power of the blessing that was applied to his life in the secular field.
You said something about you'd almost be afraid to take an offense. What do you mean by that?
Well, by being afraid to take an offense, I know that brings injury to you deep within. So I don't want that type of injury in my life. I know the power of an offense and the power of bitterness. The Bible says that bitterness will defile you deep within. It's like a root that goes down inside you. And Jesus himself taught his disciples that anger, uncontrolled anger that is not resolved, will result in a deep root of bitterness that will actually eventually send you to hell. And so I have a great respect for the power of anger and the power of offense. And I know that Jesus taught his disciples how to apply the principle of blessing to overcome that in their lives. We've taught it to our children and to children in schools, and it's made a great difference.
Anger and offense, it comes, and it comes when you least expect it. But there is a defense to walk in such cleanness and such shalom. We'll be right back after this. The foundational blessing and curse is found in Genesis 12:3, in which God says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I, God, will curse those who curse them. And history testifies everyone that has come against the Jew has been cursed by God. Everyone that has blessed the Jewish people has been blessed by God. Now, Jesus said it in a little different words in Matthew, the 25th chapter. He said, the final days there'd be a separation of nations as a shepherd separates goats from sheep. Here is the distinguishing point. Jesus said, as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, and the Greek words means from the womb, as you have done unto the least of these, my brethren from the womb, the Jewish people, you have done unto me. So what is the separation of nations in the last days? As you have done unto the least of the brethren of Jesus, the physical Jews. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm finding that the ancient Jewish blessings release such miracles. For instance, Dorothy Jean Lincoln, you found out that these blessings will cause barren women to have children. Tell me a specific case.
Okay, I will. There is a family in the town next to our little town, Brunswick, and the lady was 40 years old. They had been married a number of years and wanted children, but never could have them. In fact, they'd spent a lot of money, thousands of dollars, to try to become parents, but it just didn't work. And so we were at this conference, and my husband and I were there, and she came in and was speaking to her mother about how frustrated she was because she just got back from the doctor. And he said that, well, we'll try another procedure for you, and he said it's going to be thousands of dollars. And she said, out of her disgust, she said, listen, I'm just not going to try that. I'm just going to place it in the hands of God. And so at that point, my husband picked up on it and said, well, you said about the most wonderful thing you could ever say. He said, you need to find my wife, and she will pray for you and believe God to bless you with children. So anyway, that afternoon, I was outside walking, and Catherine and her father were outside walking also. And so we just met together. And so she had mentioned that she would like for me to pray for her. And so I said, sure, because God has just dropped a real faith in my heart for people to have babies. And so it was a delight to do that. And so anyway, her father and I laid hands on her, and we prayed and asked God to open up her womb and bless her with children. And the next thing we knew, she was pregnant.
3 days later.
Has this happened often?
It does happen quite often, Sid. Had people from out of town, people I don't even know, who will come. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I prayed for a teacher. I didn't know who she was. She knocked on my door and she said, I was sent here to ask you to pray for me. And of course, I asked them about, you know, something about their background and if they do believe in Jesus. And most of them are believers. And I said, well, there's one thing you have to do. You have to dedicate this baby to Jesus and be committed to raise it in the love and the admonition of the Lord. And so I laid hands on her and prayed for her. So it's just an honor to be able to do that.
Bill, I understand even troubled teenagers, when they understand the blessings, when the parents understand the blessings, their lives are changed. Has this happened often?
Yes, we have several reports where children's lives have turned around. One in particular that I'm thinking about is a seventh grader. He failed the seventh grade, was repeating it, and his first report card had all F's. At that
doesn't
point,
sound too good.
No, that's pretty bad. And his mother, they were in our church. I knew him casually, but his mother called me in very distraught. And I asked her to come in with her husband and bring the boy, and they did. And I taught the parents how to impart blessing to him, the ability to study, the ability to retain the information, the ability to concentrate. And I taught him how to break the curse, because now his teachers were cursing him. He was considered the troublemaker at school.
In what way were they cursing him?
Well, they were saying, he's the failure. He always causes problems in my class. He'll never make it. He will always be a failure. He should do something else. He should not plan to continue school beyond the required age. They were just speaking curses over him. Fact is, if any noise took place in the classroom, they always turned to him. They thought that he was the instigator. So I taught him how to bless his teachers. I had him memorize it, and I wouldn't let him do it until I had him trained. And then I said, okay, tomorrow go to school and bless your teachers. He changed class every hour. And he went up to each desk of each teacher. He said, may I speak to you a moment? And the teacher, of course, would look at him with some degree of consternation. And he would say, I just want you to know that I'm sorry for the way I've acted in your class, and you're a fine teacher, and may the Lord bless you and raise you up to be the star teacher in this school system. May the favor of God come on your life.
I mean, the troublemaker, imagine what they thought.
That's right, I had him trained. And so one of the teachers said, I don't believe a word you say, you're a failure, you've been a troublemaker in my class, I don't want you here. And I had him prepared, I had him trained. I said, don't you react. He stood straight until she was through, and he said, I understand how you feel, and I'm sorry for that, but you're a fine teacher, and may the blessing of the Lord come on you, and may God cause you to be recognized as the outstanding teacher in the school system and give you favor in your life. And she said, well, if you feel that way about it, maybe we can try again. Said that child finished that year with all A's and B's, went on to graduate with good grades from high school, was invited by an airline to be trained by this airline for a technical job with them, and eventually came back to our city and is a businessman in our city today.
You know, Bill, in Judaism, we're taught to bless everything. But in Christianity, it's sort of been stolen. And what you advocate is that fathers should pray this high priestly blessing over their children. But what happens if, say, the father is either a non-believer or the father is dead?
Well, in my case, when I learned these principles, my father was dead. So I just looked for someone else. If I hadn't have had an older brother, I happen to have had an older brother mm-hmm. who was a lot older than I. But if not, I would have gone to a pastor or someone else. Now my wife blesses me. Sometimes I'll ask our sons, who are grown men, to speak blessing over me. But I went to my older brother, who was really not a churchman. He really didn't. He believed in God, but he didn't mm-hmm. practice it. And so I asked him to speak blessing over me. And when he put his hands on me, in fact, as he said, I don't know, what do I say? I said, well, think of all the good things you want for my family and me. I said, you love me. Say, may the Lord bless you. And then you just name those things. And as he did it, the power of God came on us.
As and he began, non-believer in God, and the power
yes.
of God came on
him. Oh, yes, because he was in a position before God that was important to me, and it was my faith. I was drawing from God.
There is such power in this blessing. I want to bless you. May the Lord keep you. I bless you. May the Lord pour out His anointing and Spirit upon you right now. May you experience shalom. You see, the word shalom means more than peace, more than hello, more than goodbye. The word shalom means wholeness in mind, in body, in spirit. May God's shalom come upon you right now in the name of the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Receive now His blessing. Amen.